Good morning. Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church, and welcome on this gorgeous Easter Sunday. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Get comfortable with that. You're going to hear that a lot today. And a special welcome today to my mentor and dear friend, Pastor Don, affectionately known to us as PD. If I do a really good job or bad job today, I want you to know he taught me everything I know. Okay. So those that are listening to us on air, or maybe your first time here, our services are on Sundays at 10 a.m. You can always catch us on podcast if you're not available to attend in person at www.oursaviorlutheran.com. You can also reach us on radio broadcast at 11 a.m. at WPHM 1380. Although given that, we would love to see your faces in the sanctuary with us on any Sunday. Our broadcast today is being sponsored by our anonymous donor from St. Clair to the glory of God. I am your friendly licensed lay minister. I will be leading today's service. I'll be assisted by Helen DeTerry. Denver DeTerry put the beautiful recording on, and that was fantastic music to start the day off with. Jeremy Brown is on the sound, and then our wonderful vocalist, Jennifer Hudson. Helen, would you take us away?
The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul writes, "Today Christ is risen, and we gather together with astonishment and joy. Christ is risen, and we have been set free from the bonds of death. Christ is risen, and we are forgiven. Christ is risen, and with the women at the tomb and Peter, we are amazed. Let us rejoice. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia." Our gathering hymn this morning, "Jesus Christ is risen today."
Triumphant, holy.
Join with me in the thanksgiving for baptism. All may make the sign of the cross that was given at baptism. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the one who was, who is, and is to come. Amen. Baptized into Christ's death and resurrection and called to live the baptized life, let us give thanks for the gifts of baptism. Holy God, we give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that make a people your own, that restore to wholesomeness, and empower us to be witnesses in your name. Baptized into you, O living one, we give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that strengthen believers and give new life to the beloved servants of your church, waters that extend your boundless love and cross barriers of your own making. Baptized into you, O living one, we give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that open the hearts of believers and give a voice in the night to those in captivity, waters that set your people on a new path, rejoicing in the Spirit's power, baptized into you, O living one. Grant us grace, love, and life, O living one, that our every day is shaped by these waters that give us our very lives in you. We ask in the name of Jesus, the crucified and risen one. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with us all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Helen will take us through this morning's readings.
Our first reading this morning is from Acts chapter 10, starting with the 34th verse. Peter's sermon delivered at the home of Cornelius, a Roman army officer, is a summary of the essential message of Christianity. Everyone who believes in Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection fulfilled the words of the prophets, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here begins the reading. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That the message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went out about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm is Psalm 118, the antiphon this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Let Israel. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our hymn of praise, Christ is risen, shout Hosanna.
Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert, all surrounding, see a spreading tree has grown. Healing leaves of grace abounding, bring a taste. Raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning. See what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection. Not a servant, but a friend. Jesus is a strong companion. Joy and peace.
Our second reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, starting with the 19th verse. Paul describes the consequences of the resurrection, including the promise of new life in Christ to a world that has been in bondage to death. He celebrates the destruction of evil and the establishment of God's victorious rule over all. Here begins the second reading. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And now I hope you will enjoy our drama reading this morning, He Is Not Here, The Promise from the Tomb.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't be surprised seeing you here. Several of us have already gathered here earlier this morning to witness this amazing event. My name is Mary Magdalene, and I, along with two other women, came here earlier to anoint the body of Jesus with perfumes and spices. It was to be my final act of service to my Lord. You can't begin to imagine my confusion when I discovered the tomb was empty. Empty! How my heart was broken. Why would someone take his body? To find him gone was almost more than I could bear. These past 3 days have been the longest, the darkest days of my life. 3 days of total anguish and desperation. Do any of you know what it's like to watch helplessly as all your hopes and dreams for your future vanish before your very eyes? You see, before I knew Jesus, I had no hopes and dreams, no future. My life was enslaved to the torments of demons, demons that were destroying my life, and I was looked upon with disgust and pity. Whenever I did have a rational thought, it was only that I wished I could die. But then came the glorious day I met Jesus of Nazareth, and I became a living miracle. He looked upon me not with disgust and pity, but with compassion. Then he touched me, and my life was never the same. He stilled my trembling hands and quieted my raging heart. Tenderly, graciously, he healed me and gave me life. So thankful was I that I would have followed him anywhere, and I did. I followed him from village to village as he explained the scriptures, as he healed the sick and afflicted, as he loved and cared for all the people. I followed him all the way to the cross where I watched my Lord suffer at the hands of Roman cruelty, where I watched him, bruised and bleeding, hanging on that rough wooden cross. I still don't quite understand it, and you might think it strange that I, as a woman, would stay and watch his crucifixion. But how could I abandon him after all he'd done for me? How could I abandon the very one who healed with such compassion and taught with such authority, whose very life was an example of love? I'm ashamed to say I found myself wishing once again my life was over when I heard him say from the cross, "It is finished." Darkness fell not only over the earth, but through my very heart and soul as well. And as I walked the path to this tomb this morning, I was heavy of heart and barren of hope. But as I told you when we got here, the tomb was empty. An angel said to us, "He is not here. Go now and tell the good news." So I ran. I ran to the disciples and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. He has risen and is going into Galilee."
It is good to see that the news is already spreading. I'm sure that you've come here to see for yourselves if the tomb indeed is empty. I tell you the truth, he is not here. I am Peter. I am Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. The rock, as Jesus used to call me. And I too have come to see. I really can't describe to you my feelings as I ran to the tomb. I wondered where his body was and why someone would do this to Jesus and to those of us who followed him. I was puzzled, confused. I was angry. Couldn't we be allowed to grieve and mourn in peace? To have his grave disturbed was unthinkable. And as I ran, I was ready to fight the Roman centurions guarding his tomb if I had to, and make them tell me what they had done with his body. Probably wasn't one of my best ideas. They would have killed me before I even drew my sword. Jesus always said I was a little too impulsive. I have this problem of speaking before thinking, of reacting to the moment instead of allowing the moment to pass. There was a time I tried to walk on water. The disciples and I were out on the boat when a strong wind came up, and a figure on the lake appeared, walking toward us and the water. I tell you, we were shaken, but then we heard him call, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." My heart danced with joy at the words of Jesus, our teacher. And all I wanted to do was jump out of the boat and go get him. And I did, or I tried to. I was walking just like Jesus on the water, but I became frightened at the wind and the waves that surrounded me. I looked away from him, and I began to sink. And I cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And he did. If only I had not taken my eyes off of Jesus. Do you know what it's like to be looking right at Jesus? And then something causes you to turn away, and then your faith begins to falter. I wanted to prove myself to Jesus, but instead, once again, he proved himself to me. He always held on to me through all my questions, through all my doubts. He held on to me through all of my fears. He held on to me and never let go. But I did. You see, I'm the one who slipped from his grasp. Just a few days ago, Jesus told me that he must leave and that we could not follow. He said, "You will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." And I said to him, I said to Jesus, I said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." I meant it. I really did. But when Jesus needed me the most, I denied him. Not once, three times. Just as he said that I would do, I left him alone to suffer at the hands of the religious hypocrites. while I hid in fear. You have no idea the depth of remorse I felt for denying my Lord Jesus. And this after I declared him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. When I realized what I had done, I wept bitter tears. But by then it was too late. Jesus had been taken to be crucified. There he died, alone on a cruel, rugged cross. And it should have been me. I was the one deserving death. He did nothing wrong, but he was the one who took the nails. So you see, when Mary told John and me that the tomb was empty, I wanted so much to believe. And so we ran off as if our lives depended on it.
When Mary came to us and told us the news, I thought she lost her mind. I could not understand how the tomb could be empty. And yet I could not get here fast enough to see for myself. And I see we are not alone. That you will also have come see. I am the disciple known as John. And when I got to the tomb, I looked but did not go in. I just wasn't ready to see Jesus like that, lifeless, without breath and spirit. You see, Jesus was more than my teacher. He was my close friend. I would sit in the awe at his teachings, but I was even more amazed that he loved me like a brother. He loved me for who I am and not who I sometimes pretend to be. That's my friends. It is a powerful love. That kind of love motivates you to action, although sometimes my actions were a little misguided. There was a time my brother James and I wanted to call down fire from heaven on a village that refused to welcome Jesus. Surely they were deserving of that. But Jesus said no, that he didn't come to destroy lives, but to save them. From then on, he called us sons of thunder. You know, when I think about it, I have a hard time understanding why Jesus wanted any of us for his disciples. Sometimes we are temperamental, impulsive, slow to understand, little of faith, and even selfish. Next to Jesus, we are sorry a lot. We would even argue among ourselves about who would be the greatest. And once I even went so far as to ask if I could have a special place in his kingdom. I really messed up that one. But Jesus took us all in with all of our weaknesses, all our failings, and made us his disciples. He commanded us to love one another. By first showing us how to love by his example. I can tell you the truth that even as hung on the cross, he asked his Father in heaven to forgive the very ones who has beaten and tortured him, then drove nails through his hands and feet. Forgive them, he said. Even in death, his life was an example of love. And this morning, as I looked in the tomb, all the emotions of the past few days came pouring over me, and I had to step back. Then Peter rushed in, and as he came out, he had a look of complete amazement on his face. I then went in and saw for myself the cause of such amazement. Jesus' body has not been unwrapped and stolen. The grave clothes lay there completely undisturbed. His body has passed right through the trapping of death. I still don't fully understand it, but I saw it and believed. And so I say to you, he is not here.
I understand why they didn't believe me at first. It did seem incredible, but at least they came to see as you did. When Peter and John left, I stayed behind and was so overwhelmed I began to cry. I didn't know there were any tears left. I started to turn away, and it was then that I saw him. Oh, I didn't even know it at first. I even thought he was the gardener. But then he spoke my name, and I knew. A more beautiful sound I've never heard than that of my Lord's voice calling to me. You see, I never expected to actually see him, but I was overjoyed when I did. I didn't meet the risen Lord until I discovered the empty tomb. What if I'd stayed away? I could have just missed the promise from the tomb. I tell you the truth. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
I ran into the tomb because I couldn't wait to see if it was true. Was he really gone? And after I saw, I remembered the words of Jesus. He had said, "I am going away, and I am coming back to you. I have told you now before it happens, so you will believe." But I had been so filled with grief and guilt that I was blinded to the truth. Now I know that the truth has set me free. He is not here. That's his promise from the tomb. And I declare to you that Jesus of Nazareth has been raised up from the dead, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on it, to keep a hold on him. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
We were as close as anyone to the teachings of Jesus, and yet our fears, our weakened faith, kept us from believing. We saw defeat instead of victory, but Jesus was victorious. And because he gave his one and only Son, that forever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This life is real, and we are all witnesses of that life. Look and see for yourselves that he is risen. He is risen indeed.
He is the King of Kings
and Lord of Lords.
He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God.
Privilege it was for those who came to the tomb on that first glorious Easter morning. crushed beneath the weight of hopelessness and despair, and burdens that were lifted and hope that abounded when they beheld their king in all his radiant splendor. Thankful, forgiven, and restored, they quickly spread the news of the empty tomb and the promise it contained. Just think of the indescribable joy that they had missed if they had stayed away. And aren't you glad that Jesus chose real people, people we can identify with, to carry his message? For who among us has not felt plagued by anger, selfish desires, confusion over worries in this life, doubts about our faith, and fears about tomorrow? But because of Christ and his sacrifice, we can put all those demons to rest and come before his throne of grace and mercy. The nails plus one cross equal forgiveness. That's the message of the cross. And one empty tomb equals victory over death. That's the promise of the tomb. The promise that death is not the final and fearing is not final, and that fearing death is not necessary. If we believe in Christ Jesus, the true trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to a place to prepare for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Is there any greater assurance than to know that one day the eastern sky will split and Jesus Christ, our Savior, will appear on the clouds in all his glory and may take us home with him? Because he lives, we too shall live. May the power of the cross, the promise from the tomb, fill our hearts with joy as we celebrate our Christians on the awesome resurrection morning. He is risen. Please rise as you're able, in body or spirit, for this morning's gospel, and join with me in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Evidently expecting to find Jesus' corpse among some women of the tomb, among the followers, go to the tomb with embalming spices. After a perplexing encounter with the empty tomb and angelic visitors, the women become the first to proclaim the amazing news of the resurrection. This morning's gospel comes from the book of Luke, beginning with the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women, they came to the tomb taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to him, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you that while he was in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners and be crucified, and that on the third day he would rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Again, good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're concluding a long Lenten journey. After the solemn and sad Good Friday service, it really is a great pleasure to come to you on this glorious Easter morning day. On Friday, we remembered the terrible day of our Lord's crucifixion. Today we awakened and found the stone had been rolled away and we found the tomb empty. Emptiness is typically not something we associate with anything positive. Empty is usually a loss. Loss is something we dread. We worry so much about losing things, we even have technology to help us find lost things or to keep from losing things in the first place. We have air tags we can attach to things, so when I misplace my keys, I can push a button on my phone and it rings and I can find my keys. And when I lose my phone, I've got a button on my keys. I can push that button to find my phone. We even have GPS in our car, so my car can tell me when I'm going in the wrong direction to get to my destination. Death is so obviously the great loss one can experience, and science is constantly working on ways to delay that as well. When the women arrive at the tomb following the crucifixion, they are already in the midst of dealing with grief of loss, lost with the death of their beloved Jesus Christ. Now they arrive and find the large stone that was used to seal Jesus' tomb has been moved. The stone had been sealed with a Roman seal, and to break that seal was a sentence of death. Their grief was then compounded with confusion, fear, and anger. When they enter the tomb and they find the body of Christ is not there, then they encounter what I might call a heavenly GPS in the form of two angels. Now, while they did not necessarily give specific directions to locate Jesus, they were informed that they were looking in the wrong place. How often have you argued with your GPS in your car, knowing you better the way to go, only to find yourself in going the wrong way, or to find yourself in a traffic jam or a closed road? They are told they are looking for the living among the dead, and that Jesus has already told them while they were in Galilee that he would suffer and he would die and he would raise again. Now, I'm sympathetic to these women. So often I find that God and Jesus so exceed my human comprehension that I question, how can this be? As the women leave the tomb with a myriad of emotions, they must have been experiencing, it must have been overwhelming. The grief of loss of a loved one, confusion over an open tomb, anxiety and fear over a missing body, the doubt and hope based on the message they received from the angels. In short, very little positive feelings are evoked by finding the tomb empty and open. I've always wondered what it would have been like to have lived in the time of Jesus, to have been witness to his teachings, his life, not to mention his miracles, to have traveled with the disciples, to have listened and taken part in their conversations would have been amazing. But even with that desire, one of the things I've always appreciated about living in my time and my period in history is the fact that during my entire life, I've had access to or possession of the instruction manual, the scripture, the Bible. While people living in the time of Jesus were fortunate enough to witness all the acts of Jesus, as well as the pain of his death, the joy of his resurrection, they mostly had to wait to be taught. They had to experience the things that happened as they happened. And discovery took time. I think in general, I'm not a very patient person. One of the appreciations I have is the scriptures that we have are privileged to have a greater appreciation of what has taken place. We have the opportunity to study, to scrutinize, to discuss what has happened and what it means or what it may mean. The women visiting the tomb, the doubting disciples, Thomas, they're not able to appreciate the true significance of the empty tomb. They had to wait. They had to wait until Jesus appeared and broke bread with them. And yet they still had difficulty in believing what they were experiencing. Now we, on the other hand, we see the empty tomb to us as one of the greatest symbols, because we know the reason it is empty is because death nor the tomb was capable of defeating Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus took on all the pain and all the suffering of the world for our sake to save us from sin and death. So on this Easter Sunday, we know that the tomb to be empty, and we can exclaim, Alleluia, he is risen. Thank you, amen. in our hymn of the day. Let us pray. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need.
Kindle new life in your church. Encourage all who seek creative ways to share the good news of Christ's resurrection. Bless mission developers and new ministries, that their work plant seeds that flourish. God of grace, nourish new life in all of creation. Shower forest and grasslands, deserts and mountains with life-giving rains. Grant us delight in your glory that shows forth in all that grows this season. God of grace, empower new life among the nations. As you raised Jesus from the dead, bring new hope for peace and reconciliation in places of war and strife. Raise up leaders who are steadfast in their commitment to justice and transformation. God of grace, bring new hope among all who are in need, especially neighbors without homes or food, and those whose housing or food supply is at risk. Bring healing to all who are fearful, ill, or grieving. Especially this day, Lord, we remember our homebound members in our prayers, those who may be dealing with chronic illness or disease diagnosis. We pray for anyone who finds themselves hospitalized, and also for those who provide their care. We pray for the family and friends of the recently departed and passed away. Lord, we remember and pray for the NA Project Return, the Harbor for Youth, the Renewal Christian Counseling, and also we remember our service members, both serving at home and overseas, that they may return home safely. God of grace, awaken new life in this place. Open our hearts to ways that you are calling us to be at work in the world and in our very community. Give us courage to boldly share your love for all people beyond our walls. God of grace.
Heavenly Father, we live in a world that needs Jesus now more than we ever have. We live in a world with strife, with wars, with disasters, and we ask for the saving grace of Christ to have his hand on all of us. Trusting in the promise of the resurrection, we remember with thanksgiving our beloved dead. Sustain us with a living hope until we are reunited with them and all the saints in the heavenly banquet. God of grace, we commend these all in our prayers to you. O God, trusting that you always are with us, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Since we're just about to go off the air, I'd like to offer the blessing for those who are joining us on radio this morning. The triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign Savior and Spirit, light your way with the resurrection of dawn, now and always. Amen.
As we bring our gifts forward to you, O Lord, we offer them, O Holy One, through our time and our talents and financial giving, that it may continue the church and its mission to witness to the world the life-giving love of Christ. Wish everyone a happy Easter. And I would like to wish Pastor Don a happy birthday. How special, how very special this day is. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Risen One, you have gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again. Breathe your life into us and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world. Amen. Our offering hymn, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth.